We are continuing this this series, which I began in 1 Peter two or three weeks now. And if you remember the first week, we looked at 1 Peter and that thought of Peter mentioning that living hope which is really an anchor, a foundation that all of us need to have. And it's a foundation for us to go on in the rest of this 1 Peter. It's, you know, thinking of that anchor. That anchor holds what? Holds a boat from drifting. And, you know, it's so easy in this world to drift. It's so easy in this world to be caught off guard and the pull of this world to take us, to cause us to drift. And so it's that living hope is that anchor that will keep us fixed, firm in the place that God wants us. And today we're going to see the emphasis is on this thought of walking in holiness. And we need to understand that these two thoughts, that living hope and this thought of walking in holiness, are intricately linked. They go together. And 1 John 3:3 says, everyone who has this hope in him purifies just as he is pure. And so as he is, as Jesus Christ is, as the Lord is, so should we be. You know, I was thinking of this illustration that how important it is, you know, metal workers and how important it is to have no impurities in metal. Because what happens over time, if there's impurities, that metal will break down and crack, break. And so too in our life, if we have any impurities in us, it's like it when that time comes, when the pressures come, when the heat comes, and those purities will cause that, our very lives, to crumble, to break under pressure, under the storms, under the heat. And so we need to allow God to purify us. And so, as I mentioned a couple weeks ago in this 1 Peter, we are really considering how we are to have a living hope and how we are to maintain a living hope in the midst of this world. How we are to live within a great expectation of what God wants for us in our life, in our journey. And to be the church, to be the people of God in word, in this world, how we are to live in this world and not be of this world. And really, this world is not our home. Amen? Our home is eternal. Our home is that which is being held out before us, our eternal home. You see, in many ways, 1 Peter is our life manual. And how to live a new life, our new life, in the same old fallen world. And so we are going to consider this morning, we're going to consider 15 verses of this letter, 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 13 through chapter 2, verse 3. And the conversation that I'm titling this message, Going Against the Tide of This World. In other words, how do we swim upstream and not get caught up in the things of this world? In 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 13 through 16, therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lusts, as in your ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, be holy for I am holy. We know from just reading the Word of God, the Bible often speaks of this thought of swimming against the streams of this world. Amen? You only have to read, and it's always the world is going this way, and we are to live differently. We are to live in a way that is radically different than the things of this world. We know the story of Noah. Noah was a man that lived differently. And while the world was going one way, Noah was building an ark and being ridiculed for it. But Noah was a man that had a heart for God. And God chose him. While the world was going one way, God chose Noah to go a different way, and he was saved. And we know Abraham. Abraham lived in a world of a lot of idols. But yet he chose to go a different way. He chose to by faith follow God and his plan, and he became the father of many nations. And he was a one that was willing to even sacrifice his son for the call, for the purpose of God. And then Moses said to the people of Israel in Deuteronomy 18, verse 9, when you come into the land which the Lord your God has given you, you shall not learn to follow the abominations of those nations, the old ways. You know, today we live in that type of world. Amen. We live in a world that there's, we only have to look at the abomination of killing of the unborn, which is an abomination before God. And the world just seems to be, everything is so opposite, so evil today. And they're going in absolute destructive ways. And yet, God says, you shall not learn, you shall not follow, you shall not go with those, because they're abominations before him. And Romans 12, 2 says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Peter says here, do not conform to the evil desires that we had before. Be holy in all you do, for it is written, be holy because I am holy. You see, God, we are called to be different. Amen. We are called to live differently. We are called to speak differently. We are called to conduct our lives differently than this world. We are called to swim upstream against the stream of this world. And understand, being holy, brothers and sisters, being holy is not some super religious tradition. No. Being holy is simply being set apart, being different, being taking on, being reflecting his nature of holiness, separation, otherness to this world. It's not, holiness is not about dressing a certain way. It's not about thinking a few spiritual things and talking the religious talk. That is not holiness. There's a lot of weird attempts of holiness over the years in the church. But true holiness, brothers and sisters, is that separation, is that being different. Being different as God and being different from the world around us. Being different inside our very heart. Holiness is about swimming upstream. It's being different than the world. It's about being salt and light in this world and not darkness. It's about living counterculture, revolutionary life. It's about our Lord, who taught such a radical swimming, who lived in a way that he swam against the very things of this, of his days. What does Jesus teach about swimming upstream, going against the tide of this world? He taught the way up is down. He taught that the first shall be last. He taught the way of attainment is by surrendering, yielding, relinquishing. The way of protection is through forgiveness, even 70 times 7. That is radical. The way of life is death. Death to self, to society, even to our family in relationship to him. He taught that God's power is made perfect in what? Our weakness. You want to get the most? Then become the least. You want to be free? Give up complete control of yourself to the Lord. You want to become great? Forget about yourself. You want to honor? Then begin to honor others more than yourself. Such radical upstream swimming that God teaches in his word, and that is before us today. How do we do in any of those areas? And so we want to approach today's discussion on a couple of things, a couple of questions. First of all, why should we swim upstream? Why should we go against the tide of this world? We want to look at that very important question. Why is it important for us to swim upstream? And second of all, equally important is, so how do we do this? What does God say how we are to accomplish, how we are to be his holy ones? And so let us look verses 13 through 16. Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind to be sober and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lusts as in your ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. So why should we swim upstream? Number one, because of this, with this sentence begins with therefore. And when we see this very word therefore, it links what was spoken of before to what comes on after. And so this therefore saying, because we have this living hope found in Christ. Because of that, therefore, we are to become holy. We are to live and walk in holiness. Therefore, this was done. Therefore, this is what we need to do. Therefore, because of what God the Father chose you and me. Because, therefore, the Son died for us, therefore, we need to swim against the tide of this world. Because God the Spirit lives in us, we can swim against the tide of this world. Because we have an inheritance, not in this world, but because our inheritance is in heaven, internal inheritance, don't lose it. Don't lose it. That's why it's important that we put on holiness. We allow His purifying work to be done. Therefore, we need to choose to swim against the tide of this world, to live differently. Align your thoughts, align yourself to Him, to His holiness, to His nature, to His likeness. You know, the Scripture speaks of us as His bride. And what is His bride like? His bride is going to be one without spot, blemish, or wrinkle. And how do you get to that place? By swimming upstream, by swimming against the tide of this world. Secondly, we are to be obedient children. In verse 14, as obedient children, obedience, understand that God our Father and we are His children. And what is the very thing when you think of children? Obedience to the parents, right? And we are the children of God. And so He demands of us obedience to His word, obedience to His commands, to His nature. It's a natural flowing. He would not want anything else. Children and obedience go together, and so too. And John 14, 15 says, if you love me, keep my commandments. Very simple. If we love the Lord with all of our hearts, then as a natural part, we are to keep His commandments. We are to keep His word. Third reason. Because we are no longer living in ignorance. In verse 14, not as obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lusts, as in your ignorance. See, we are no longer ignorant to those things. When Christ comes into our life, as He gives us His Holy Spirit, it's like that light goes on. We're no longer living in that darkness of this world. We're no longer living in the ignorance. You know, I'm amazed at when I see the way that this world is living, operating. You know, some of the things that are being said. You know, I had to laugh when just this past week or two, a politician said, well, somehow they're inserting this heartbeat into these machines, sonograms, that they're not really a heartbeat that they're listening to. It's like some kind of recorded. Silliness. Ignorance. Just absolute, and you just listen to some of the things that are coming out of people's mouths. When people are not in the light, when they're not following the Lord, it's like this dumbness comes upon them. It's just, you know, just they're operating in such ignorance. And at one time, I know I operate in that before the Lord. And the things, the decisions I made were disastrous. So we no longer live in ignorance. Fourthly, of who God is. But He who has called you is holy. You also be holy in all your conduct. Because it is written, be holy for I am holy. So this is a very important reason why we swim against the tide of this world. Why we are swimming upstream. And it seems hard because everything that just can... It seems to be pulling us back into the lies, the destruction of this world. But because he is holy, he has shown us that because of his holiness, that we are able, if we cling to his holiness, if we allow that his holy nature to cover us, to strengthen us, that we are able. Because why? Because he was holy when he walked this earth, when Jesus walked this earth, he was holy and he was able to walk against the stream of this world. Amen? And because of his holiness that he shares with us, that he has imputed to us, we need to begin to walk out that holiness. Allow that holiness be imparted into every aspect, every part of our life. It's because of who he is that we can walk against. It's because of his gracious election of us to become saints always will involve our responsibility. There is a responsibility in our part that he holds out this holiness, and every day we have a responsibility. What are we going to do with his holiness? Are we going to allow it to permeate? Are we going to allow it to be a very part? Are we going to come in alignment to his word, to his holiness, and to his purpose? It's his purpose for us to be holy. And it's our responsibility to put ourselves in that place so that holiness can actually latch onto us and become a very part of our life. In 1 Peter 1, verse 17, "And if you call on the Father, who without partiality judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves throughout the time of your stay here in fear." Here's a key. Here's a key how we can maintain, how we can stay in that place of his holiness, how we can allow that holiness to just permeate and begin to be our very nature. And it comes from this. It comes from the fear of the Lord. To the degree, God spoke to this, to the degree that we allow, that we fear the Lord. And that's not something that we're afraid that he's going to knock us out of the side of the head when we make every mistake. No. This fear is a reverence for his holiness. It's a reverence for his kingdom. It's a reverence for everything that God is and who he is, his holiness. And as we fear him, it's that power that allows us to then walk, to begin to walk out, not in our own strength, but in the strength and the purpose and the power of the Holy Spirit. Fifth of all, the old way of life was a dead end. In verse 18, it says, "Knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold, from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers." Why do we walk? Why do we swim upstream against the tide of this world? It's because the opposite only leads to an aimless, empty life. Amen? When we come to the Lord, he promises us so much more than this world can offer. He gives to us that promise that if you stay with me, if you abide in me, if you walk with me, your life would not be aimless like so many in this world. And I'm sure that the people that we've walked with, that we can see just their lives are a wreck. Their lives are aimless. They have no hope in following the things, the ways of this world. The old way of life, is our old way of life truly dead today? Are we walking in the newness and the power of his? That old way of life, living for ourselves, living for our selfish desires? Or are we living ultimately for him and his kingdom? Proverbs 14:12 is one of my favorite verses. It's the one that turned my life upside down and started my journey with the Lord. Proverbs 14:12 says, "There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death." And that's what this world really is. When you see this world, everything seems, they seem right in their own eyes, but because of their blindness, they are not seeing. And I'm reminded of a years and years ago, God gave me just a vision. And this vision is, I saw myself paddling a boat, and I'm paddling upstream. And I'm paddling upstream, all these other boats are coming down opposite of me. And they're paddling downstream, and they're saying, "It's much easier going down, much easier going downstream. Why are you working so hard?" And I kept warning them, "There's danger behind, there's danger. You don't want to go down there. It's death." And so I'm paddling, and they're making fun of me. They're poking, they're trying to knock my boat off. Sometimes they grab my boat to try to drag me back, and I'm having to knock their hands off so that they let go of my boat. And so as this vision was carrying on, eventually the Lord says, "Go off to the side of the bank and pick up your boat and begin to walk up this hill." And he began to speak to me that there's a purpose. And at the end, I'll tell you what the end of that vision was. But the idea is that swimming upstream is hard, is difficult. You're going to be ridiculed. But there is a reason. There is a purpose. And God will be with you if you choose to swim upstream. 6, Jesus gave his life for us. He gave his life for us in 1 Peter 1:18 and 19. "Knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold from your aimless conduct received by traditions from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." Christ was the ultimate upstream swimmer. And he calls us to be like him and to swim because he died for us. He died on the cross. He paid the penalty for us. And then 1 Peter 2, chapter 2, verse 2 says, "Like newborn babies, crave spiritual milk so that by it you may grow up in your salvation." That you may grow up in your salvation. And so this thought here is why do we swim upstream? Why do we swim against the tide of this world? Because we need to grow up. God did not save us to stay as babes, but to grow up, to keep going. To keep going. And then verse 3 of Peter, it says, "Now that you have tasted that the Lord is good." So again, another reason why we can keep going, that we can swim. Because we have tasted of the goodness of the Lord. The goodness of the Lord. We are believers. And we are called to be different, to live God's way, to swim upstream. And so how in the world do we do that? So Peter now so Peter, I'm convinced, okay, I get it. There is reasons, there's good reasons why we need to do this. Amen? Everyone agree, there's reasons why we need to swim upstream. So how do we do that? Peter, how do I do that? So first of all, that we need to prepare our minds. And we've already seen this in verse 13. "Gird up the loins of your mind and be sober. You are what you think." We are what we think. And so it's very important that we allow our minds to be renewed, to think on the things, the good things that the Lord. Turn off those things, the junk of this world. Don't let that enter into our minds. Think on the pure things. Think about what we think about and what we're exposed to can affect us. Proverbs 4:23 says, "Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life." And then thirdly, our thoughts can defile us. Our thoughts can defile us. And, you know, that's very important that we make sure that we don't allow those thoughts that to defile us, because they will take us off course. They will cause us to go and begin to follow the stream down instead of up. And then verse 13 says, develop self-control. Be sober. Control what you think. Control. Be self-controlled. Allow the Holy Spirit to guide and direct you, and not be allow the world to control your thoughts, your ways. You know, the world says if it tastes good, taste it, eat it. If it feels good, do it. If it looks good, buy it. And if it requires too much effort, just sleep on it. That's the world. But God is saying different. Live by self-control, His self-control. How do we do it? Set your hope fully on your future. In verse 13, set your hope fully on the grace to be brought to you when Jesus Christ is revealed. Set your hope fully on our future. Keep your eyes fixed on the prize, the goal. Our goal is not here in this world. Our goal is Christ, inheriting Christ in all that He is. Our goal is eternal in our heavenly home. Remember the cost. Remember the cost. In verse 18 and 19, for you know that it was not with a perishable thing such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers, but with a precious blood. Remember the blood of Christ. Do not swim alone, brothers and sisters. Do not swim alone. We have each other. And 1 Peter 1:22 says, now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have a sincere love for your brothers, love one another deeply from the heart. Love one another deeply. We cannot do this journey alone. There's no place for Lone Ranger Christians. We need each other to help, to encourage. Come on, keep paddling. Keep paddling against that stream. Keep paddling up. Do not swim alone. And 1 Peter 2:1, it says, therefore, rid yourselves of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, slander of every kind. Get rid of the junk in your life. Get rid of the junk in your heart, because it's going to hinder. It's going to pull you back. It's going to keep you from where God wants you. Get rid. We've all had those junk drawers in our homes. Amen? And you just kind of pile all the stuff, and it's left behind there. And once in a while, it kind of rears its ugly head. Get rid of the junk in our lives. And then 1 Peter 2:2, as newborn babies desire the pure milk, crave the word of God. Crave it like it's... like your life depends upon it. Spend time in it. Allow it to just take hold of your life and live for it. I've done that, and brothers and sisters, I am here today because I have craved the word of God like never before. And then finally, continue, brothers and sisters, continue to taste and see the goodness of the Lord. The Lord is good. So that you will never forget and always remember how good He has been and how good He will continue to be as you go on this journey, as you go against the tide. The Lord will be there. I'm pulling for you. I am good. Keep your eyes on me. Don't be like Peter, that when the storms came, that he took his eyes off Jesus and began to sink. God is holding out His hand, and He wants to lead us. So I come back to that dream, that vision that God gave to me. And as He told me to, He had me go over to the stream to pick up my canoe, my boat, and I began to walk up this mountain. And you might be saying, well, that's a lot of weight. The amazing thing that I remember from this dream, that it was like this canoe, even though I was carrying it, was like featherweight. It was light. It was like easy. I'm climbing this hill. I should be like winded, but I'm like energized. I'm going. And I feel the Lord saying that this is my yoke. This is my yoke that I want you to carry. It's light. It's easy. It's when you are doing that which is right. When you are swimming upstream, my promise is that my yoke will be easy. My burden is light. When you allow me to purify your hearts, when you release those things, because the heaviness is when we carry things that God never has asked us to carry. And so in this vision, this dream, God was showing me that as we release those things of this world, as we release those things that hold us down, it's like we're carrying that canoe, we're carrying that boat up a hill, and it's effortlessly. That's what it is. And so as I came up over the hill, this mountain, there was this beautiful, beautiful lake. It was like the most beautiful place, serene, beauty. All the trees were beautiful. The peace was so beautiful. And this beautiful lake there. And then he said, put your boat down and come and into my presence. Welcome into my presence. And as I sat there in this boat on this lake, and God was just with me. He came and he sat in this boat and he began to teach. He began to share. He began to speak to me. Brothers and sisters, this is what God has for each and every one of us. And I believe that as we put ourselves, as we allow his holiness, his life, his nature to come upon us, we will experience his yoke, which is easy, his burden, which is light. We will come to that place of such joy, such peace, such serenity. That's what God is holding out. The opposite is what everyone else was doing. And at the end of that stream that everyone was following was a waterfall. And they were going over that. Speaking of that eternal death, they were going to their death, to their eternal damnation. The way to God is up. And I remember my mentor, John Maxwell, always saying that the best things in life, the most essential things in life, are the way up. Brothers and sisters, don't shirk that thing that God is holding us up. Go up. Go up with God. Keep pressing on. Keep walking forth in his holiness, in his nature. We will not be disappointed. Amen. Let the worship team come forth. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Lord, we are so grateful and thankful, Lord, that you have spoken to our hearts this morning about swimming against the tide of this world. Swimming against what the world says is good, is. But Lord, we know that the end of that is death. The end of that is aimless wandering, emptiness, empty life. It may seem good at the beginning, but in the end, Lord, it's away from you, it's empty, it's worthless. But Lord, you are calling us out. You are calling us out to something different. To be holy is to be different. To swim against the tide of the world. To live differently, to conduct ourselves differently. Lord, you showed us the reasons why this morning. And we thank you for those. Help us to remember. Help us to keep those ever before us. Because of your cost, your precious blood. Because of your sacrifice on the cross. Lord, we can. There is a reason we can swim. There is a reason, a good reason for us. Let us not forget the cost that you paid. And Lord, how do we do it? How do we do it? We remember your goodness. Lord, we do it because we allow you to renew our minds. So our minds are not polluted by the lies in this world that say, oh, follow us. Life is good. Maybe good for temporary, but ultimately, Lord, it leads to death. help us to remember the goodness of the Lord. Help us to remember the cost that you paid. Help us to remember, Lord, that you renew our minds. And through that, Lord, we can take on your nature, take on your, be hopeful, and with that promise that we can take your yoke, which is easy, and we can carry your burden, which is light. And ultimately, Lord God, we can end up where you have ordained and purposed for us to be, in the place of your presence, in your place of your holiness, where we can just sit, where we can just sit with you and just soak in everything that you have for us. Enjoy what we were created to be, and the pleasures, the joy in your presence. That's what you're holding us up, Lord. But we need to swim upstream. We need to swim against the tide of this world and not get caught up. Lord, help us. Help us not to get caught up in the ways of this world, in the destruction of this world. Help us to tune our ears away, to tune out the noise, the lies, the false accusations. Lord, and help us to tune our ears to what the Spirit of God is saying to us this morning. Lord, indeed, your yoke is easy. Your burden is light. And Lord, we long to come up higher, to come up to that place where we enjoy your presence. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.